Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
And keep my works until the end. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Apparently he meant it. Verse 20, he says, and I will give him the morning star. First, let's go back to Psalm 2, verse 9. I said it was from Psalms. Make me prove it. Psalm chapter 2. When you look at Psalm 2, verse 9, you see it's in the section about the establishment of the Messianic kingdom on earth. See, verse 8, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. That's the Messianic kingdom where Messiah Yeshua is King of kings and Lord of lords. It says, you shall break them, that's the nations of the earth, with a rod of iron. You shall dash into pieces like the potter's vessel. And then in verse 10, the Lord calls for repentance. Okay. In Revelation 2, verse 28, it said, and I will give him the morning star. But what is the morning star? Let's go to 2 Peter. He's not talking about giving him Venus, which I've heard people refer to as the morning star. We'll start in verse 16 for context. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16 for context. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven. We were with him on the holy mountain. That's in Matthew chapter 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That morning star is referring to Messiah. Yeshua. So look also at Revelation 22:16. Revelation 22:16. Revelation 22:16 says, I, Yeshua, have sent my angel, that means my messenger, to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So he says of himself, I am the bright and morning star. And let's just look back at Numbers 24 to see what it says. In verse 17. Numbers 24:17. This is part of Balaam's prophecy. Numbers 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. Who's the him? Messiah. A star shall come out of Jacob. That star is the bright and morning star, which is our Messiah Yeshua. A scepter. A scepter is an indication of a right to rule. A power of the throne shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. That reference to Moab was particularly important because it was the king of Moab that was paying him to prophesy. And his prophecy is, you're toast, guy. Back to Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We just finished chapter 2, so let's just summarize. What does the Spirit say to the churches? Return to your first love. Be obedient with joy, with gladness, out of a loving spirit. Do not fall into the trap of lawlessness and thinking that the commandments have been abolished. Don't turn to sexual immorality. Don't turn to food sacrifice to idols. And the references to Nicolaitanism mean, and the rest of the commandments as well. Where do we read where God gives the sign that someone worships him and him alone, that they worship the true and living God? What is that sign? What's that?
The Sabbath.
The Sabbath. Where is that?
Ezekiel.
It's not Ezekiel.
Exodus.
Exodus. 31. That's why God says in the book of Jeremiah to Jerusalem, if you will just keep the Sabbath, you'll never be destroyed. The kingdom will never depart. The throne will never be empty if you'll just do this one thing. Exodus 31:12, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, meaning these are right from the lips of God. Remember what Messiah said in Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done. It's actually may be done for 6 days. But the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on his Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It keeps saying whoever. What does the word whoever mean? Anybody. Anybody. And in Isaiah chapter 56, the Lord makes sure that we understand it's not just the Jewish people, it's everybody. In Isaiah 56, as you're turning there, what does a mountain indicate in prophecy? A kingdom. Isaiah 56. Verses 1 through 2, and then we'll skip down to 6. Thus says the Lord. Who says it? The Lord. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my Yeshua is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man, that's Ben-Adam, meaning everyone who descends from Adam, which is you and I and everybody else, who lays hold on, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Verse 6, also the sons of the foreigner, that Hebrew word foreigner is nekar, N-E-K-A-R, and it means someone from the pagan nations, who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. What does he mean by my holy mountain? That's the Messianic kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. That's the rebuilt temple. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, that's when Messiah returns for the kingdom, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him, meaning the Gentiles coming into the kingdom will be those who love the Lord, who keep from defiling the Sabbath and hold fast his covenant. They do that out of love because of the faith they have for him. Okay, let's get on to Revelation chapter 3 while there's still a few minutes. Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel, that's the pastor of the church in Sardis. Sardis is the next church along the Roman mail road. If you don't like the word church, substitute any other word you like. Called out assembly, that's what it really is the Hebrew word kahal, Greek word ekklesia, the called out assembly. So the angel in the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. What does it mean, who has the seven spirits of God? That was in Revelation chapter 1. In verse 16, describing Messiah, the one like the Son of Man, says he had in his right hand seven stars. So clearly it is Messiah. But what does it mean? He has the seven spirits of God. Are there seven Holy Spirits? It confuses me. What's it about? It's about Isaiah chapter 11. It's not seven spirits. It's a sevenfold spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 is where we read, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. So let's let you get there. Verse 1, there shall come forth a rod or a shoot, a shoter, a little shoot growing up from the root of a tree that everybody thought was dead, from the stem, which means the stump, like a tree's been cut down, of Jesse. Who is the stem that grew from the root of Jesse? And a branch shall grow out of his root. It's talking about Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, that's two. And understanding, that's three. The spirit of counsel, that's four. And might, that's five. The spirit of the knowledge, that's six. And of the fear of the Lord, that's seven. That's the sevenfold spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit that's described there in Revelation chapter 3. If we read just a little more in Isaiah 11, it says his delight, that is Messiah's delight, is in the fear of the Lord. That is, he enjoys and celebrates being able to keep God's commandments. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So he's going to be a righteous judge. You can't buy him. You can't. Can't what?
Bargain.
No. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. We read that before. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. That is, he will speak forth in Revelation 19:11 and following, and the nations will fall dead. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness or truthfulness the belt of his waist. Let's go back to Revelation 3. Verse 1, and to the angel or the pastor of the church of Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Does that make you think of what James wrote in the book of James? Let's go back and look. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
James. Look at James. Come on, James. Short book. There it is. In verse 27, how does James define pure and undefiled religion?
Which chapter?
James 1. In verse 27. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to what? Keep oneself unspotted from the world, which means don't walk in the sins of the world. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, empty, of no value. He says, but somebody, verse 18, will say, you have faith and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay, back to Revelation. Verse 3, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Which means the fire has not totally gone out. There's still an ember. That are ready to die. That ember is about to go out. He says, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Let me take a moment to read from Liberty Bible Commentary, Volume 2, page 798. Says the call to be watchful and wakeful was directed to the spiritual leaders to carry out their responsibilities. They were exhorted to strengthen the things which remain because they had the testimony of the Word of God more fully than those who were engulfed in the ecclesiastical formalism of the former period. It may surprise many to learn that not all truth was recovered in the Reformation. But this verse indicates that all was not perfect before, meaning complete in the sight of God. It was not a complete return to the apostolic church. Areas of doctrine and behavior were left incomplete. That is, truths found in the epistles to the Ephesians and Colossians were not emphasized by the reformers. How much of the truth of the Holy Spirit was there? Of life truth, of prophetic truth. I thought that was very insightful. What the commentator there is trying to say is, the Reformation restored some things, but far less than everything. And I agree with them. I don't know what bottom to top means, but we'll just go on. Revelation 3, verse 2, be watchful. How many times did Messiah tell us to be watchful? Even the Apostle Paul told us to be watchful. And what did Messiah say would happen if we were not watchful? What's that? Like a thief in the night, even more than that. Let's go back to the book of Matthew. Parable of the Sower.
It also says if you're a watchman and you see these things coming and don't warn the people, the blood will be on your hands.
Yeah, true. Where's that found?
Yes,
in Ezekiel 33, verse 6. Yep, but you're right. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable. Let me let you get there. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, so these are his very words, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The good seed is the true doctrine and gospel of the scriptures. The tares are the lies of the false teacher sent by Satan." It says, "But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?'" That is to gather up the tares to burn them. "But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest.'" He's talking about until Revelation chapter 16. "And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." When did the false teachers bring in the tares? While men what? Slept. Yipper. So back to Revelation 3, verse 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." That is, put the emphasis back on God and the things of God where they should always have been. "That are ready to die, that little ember's going to go out. For I have not found your works perfect before God." So this is a call to repent while there's still time to repent before judgment day comes. It's a sad thing to think of, but these seven churches are all in what we call today Turkey. Turkey is a big bastion for Christianity, right? It's a Muslim nation. So what happened to the seven lampstands? Yeah, they were taken out. But let's read on. Verse 3. "Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard," meaning remember what you were taught by the apostles. "Hold fast and" what? "Repent." Turn back away from your sins and turn back to God. Get rid of the false doctrines of the false teachers and embrace the teachings that came through the apostles of the Lord. He says, "Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you." That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right? The "they who are caught unawares" are those who refuse to watch, refuse to repent, refuse to turn back and follow the ways of God. They will end up not understanding end times prophecy. They'll not understand the timing of the second coming of our Messiah. Verse 4 says, "You have a few names even in Sardis." Boy, wouldn't you hate that to be said about your congregation. "You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments." What does it mean, have not defiled their garments? Have not walked in the sin of the false teachers. "For they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Meaning there's a few, minority, that have not followed along after the false teachers, but have stayed true to the word of God. And he says, "They will walk with me in white," referring to what? What are those white robes he's referring to? What's that? Yeah, the righteousness of God is what is called in Revelation in a few chapters. Verse 5, "He who overcomes," the same reference to 1 John chapter 5. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." This is one of those references that make it look like every name's written in the book of life until God decides they're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, but rather going to go in a lake of fire, then the name gets blotted out. "And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Interesting.
What does that mean?
Yeah, we're about to talk about that. First, to further expound upon the white garments, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Oh, let me check the clock too. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes should be around Lamentations, right? Having been written by the same author. Everybody go, no. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, not Jeremiah. So Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. Chapter 9, verse 8. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon just throws out some real zingers. And in verse 8 of chapter 9, he says, let your garments always be white. I mean, don't let them get spotted. Don't let them get dirty. Keep them always white. And then in Revelation 7, we read about these white robes. Revelation 7. Verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And lastly on the robes, we have Revelation chapter 19. The white robes are what Messiah expects to be on his bride. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. For the rest of verse 5 of Revelation 3, verse 5, I'll not blot his name, but I will confess his name. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. I don't want to quit before I answer that, since somebody said, what does that mean? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So when we profess and confess the name of Yeshua, that he is the Messiah, he's the Savior, then the Lord says, yeah, I'll tell my Father that you're one of mine.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.